Welcome to the Global Venturing Review podcast. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of our three publications, Global Corporate Venturing, Global Government Venturing, and Global University Venturing. It's great to be back once again with Thierry Hillis. Thierry.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Yeah, very well, actually. Very well. Sun's shining. It's a nice day. Almost the weekend. What's not to like?
Very true.
But more importantly, what's been happening this week? What have been the deals that have caught your eye?
We have quite an impressive figure to start with. We have big box retailer Walmart, which has entered into discussions to invest roughly $7 billion, with a B, billion dollars in India-based e-commerce company Flipkart at a valuation of about $20 billion, according to Bloomberg, which cited people familiar with the matter. The deal would involve Walmart buying shares from telecoms and internet group SoftBank and hedge fund manager Tiger Global Management, though it is currently unclear whether any new shares would be issued as part of the transaction. SoftBank's Vision Fund invested $2.5 billion in Flipkart in August 2017, in a deal that included both primary and secondary share purchases, valuing the company at $12.5 billion. And Vision Fund's investment followed $4.7 billion of funding, including $1.4 billion from e-commerce firm eBay, internet group Tencent, software provider Microsoft, and media and e-commerce group Naspers in April 2017.
Yeah. Head-spinning stuff, that, Thierry. That really is astonishing. I mean, I think a lot of people were cautious about how much SoftBank was putting out, you know, having raised effectively nearly $100 billion for its Vision Fund. You know, it's done a sort of dozen or more quite big deals, billion-sized rounds, and yeah, everyone's like, are the valuations too much? But, you know, if effectively within a year, they're already getting much higher valuations on something like Flipkart, and even if they don't exit at that, it's really very much a validation of their strategy. Fantastic IRR for them, and it'll be a fantastic sort of return. But the mind does boggle a little bit about how rapidly and large some of these entities are becoming. And obviously, don't forget, sort of behind it all, Naspers, the early investors, and they backed Tencent, they backed a host of others, and it's just phenomenal what's going on. Obviously, it was great to have SoftBank at last year's symposium, and Tencent will be here again at this year's symposium in May. So we'll find out a little bit more from them there, along with Microsoft and Naspers, hopefully, as well. But yeah, this is head-spinning stuff. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah. We do go down quite a lot from this, although it stays fairly large. Any other week, this would be the biggest one. JD.com's financial services spin-out, JD Finance, has entered talks with China National Cereals, Oils and Foodstuffs Corporation to lead a $2 billion funding round that would reportedly value it at between $26 and $30 billion. The rapid growth of JD Finance, which was only spun off a year ago, follows that of JD.com rival Alibaba's equivalent and financial, and the proceeds would go to R&D and market research.
Again, you know, it's just size and ambition. It's phenomenal. It was really interesting to hear from JD.com at our January summit in California, and obviously before that in Hong Kong for our Asia Congress. And yeah, I mean, it's just the speed and rapidity of what they're achieving is brilliant.
Yeah, mind-boggling. Then we have Alibaba, which has also been active this past week, leading an $866 million debt and equity round for bicycle renting service Ofo. The corporate has been an investor in Ofo since last July and reportedly bought $3 billion of stock in a secondary share deal in January. But China's bike sharing industry has been beset by damaged or lost stock. There have been rumours that Ofo has run into financial trouble and it will need to overcome those difficulties sooner rather than later, regardless of how much cash it raises.
People are very much viewing that mobility sector, whether ride-hailing or sort of bike-sharing, as a real growth area. You know, it's what Google used to call the toothbrush test. Do you use it once or twice a day? People generally use their bikes to ride into work, and they're using it to ride away, out of work home or on to somewhere else. And so definitely met that, and some of the data and that analytics of what people do and where they go. It's fascinating. So no surprise that Alibaba is really sort of supporting Ofo in that regard, just as we've seen Tencent support Mobike and Didi.
Then we have automotive systems producer Magna International, which has agreed to invest $200 million in US-based ride-hailing service Lyft as part of a multi-year strategic collaboration deal. The partnership will involve the companies making joint investments in the development and manufacturing of autonomous driving systems, Lyft is already working on and testing driverless car technology and has established a dedicated research center in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, Magna's probably the one of the larger companies most people haven't really heard of. The 35 or so billion or so dollars of turnover spun off as the car parts bit from some of the automakers. And they're really trying to work out how they can, if this technology is really going to be in every other car, you know, how they sort of tap into that play. It's a big, bold move by them, but Lyft has obviously been on a phenomenal tear in terms of its own growth. I think it's sort of 100% up year on year by the Q4 figures. And yeah, it's no surprise that they're really linking up to do the R&D in next-gen development. Fascinating.
Yeah. Then we have something completely different. A subsidiary of internet group Baidu has agreed to invest $160 million in China-based smart TV producer Coca, according to a stock exchange filing. The Baidu subsidiary will also buy shares in the company from one of its existing investors, Cujin Shenzhen, whose stake will be cut from 10.3% to 8.7%, while Baidu will hold an 11% share once both transactions have closed. Kuka was spun off from consumer electronics manufacturer Skyworth Digital, which will still own 64.3% of the company once Baidu's investment has been completed.
Yeah, interesting there it is. Obviously, most people think of Baidu as the sort of Google equivalent for China. Obviously, they've been making a huge push in terms of AI, particularly around the sort of autonomous vehicle and the use of sort of AI and technology. The fact that they're sort of hooking into smart TVs is a little bit head-scratching, trying to work out what's going on. I know Apple obviously was looking at smart TVs, and a number of people are thinking about how it connects up in terms of you visually see something, but you use voice to control a sort of an AI. Maybe there's some angles around this, but definitely one to dig in deeper on, Thierry.
Yeah. I simply assumed it was a push into further entering the media space, but I'm sure there's some kind of bigger play here that Baidu isn't quite ready yet to disclose. Then we have space launch services provider Spaceflight Industries, which has raised $150 million in funding from investors including Mitsui and Space Alliance, a partnership between satellite companies Thales Alenia Space and Telespazio. The latter two have also both formed strategic partnerships with Spaceflight that will support Black Sky, a geospatial intelligence subsidiary of Spaceflight that aims to eventually build a constellation of 60 small satellites.
Yeah, there's been such a lot of interesting activity around the whole sort of geospace, the satellites, near-Earth orbits, and what it means for communications. And there's been some really interesting sort of large rounds over the past few years in this work. You know, obviously one out of Japan called iSpace just before Christmas, and I think that Mitsui are engaged in this is an interesting sort of development, I think. So, yeah. Plenty of activity. And actually, I think your home country of Luxembourg, Thierry, has been one of the leaders globally in terms of thinking about space.
Yeah. Satellites, well, SES, the satellite company, is based in Luxembourg, and I think their recent push has been more towards space mining. But yeah, the current government is very keen on getting into space.
Nice move by them, I think.
Yeah, it's exciting. Not often that I get excited about news from Luxembourg, but...
It is a very nice country, though, I've got to say. I do like it.
It is very pretty, yeah. Then we have news aggregation app developer Kutotiao, which is aiming to provide a more light-hearted alternative to China's market leader, Toutiao, and has raised more than $100 million in a round led by Tencent to fund its growth. Local media reports claimed the funding round valued the company at between $1.3 and $1.5 billion, but a Bloomberg report suggests the company is looking to float in the US by the end of 2018 in an IPO in which it will seek a valuation double that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fascinating that Taotiao is, it's been one of the real interesting leaders in terms of media development, use of generated content around media, and then sort of more of a sort of AI developed news aggregation service. The fact that there's something a bit more lighthearted. So obviously it's sort of a niche in the market, but it just indicates real development. And funny enough, Tati, I was hoping to come to our media roundtable discussion at our May Symposium on 22nd, 23rd. And so we'll hopefully learn a little bit more about what's going on around this sort of natural language generation and AI space and what's happening. But super exciting area, to be honest.
Interesting. Then we have healthcare, for a change, Prevail Therapeutics, is working on gene therapies for neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's, and has raised $75 million in a Series A round that included Alexandria Venture Investments, the VC arm of life sciences and real estate firm Alexandria Real Estate Equities. The round also featured OrbiMed, Pontifax Fund, RE Capital Management, EcoRN Capital, Omega Funds, BVF Partners, Boxer Capital, and Adage Capital Management.
Yeah, it used to be that suddenly, roll the clock back 4 or 5 years ago in healthcare, when something got a bit of traction, they would have very large rounds, and probably some of the most profitable exits were in the healthcare space. But in many ways, it's the fact that we're sort of, 5 or 6 stories in, and you get into this, $75 million A round, it kind of, it's hard to give it the attention it probably deserves, because actually, these sort of areas are big rounds for a Series A in neurodegenerative diseases, gene therapies. Nothing's really more exciting or sort of impactful, but it's just hard to give it the attention that probably it deserves in this space.
Yeah. As you say, it's a Series A round of that size is nothing to be sneered at, but if you also talk about $7 billion deals, then it does look like spare change almost.
Exactly. We're just trying to stop people with Parkinson's. No, it's just that multi-billion person potential market out there. Yeah. If it works and we're in a Series A round, we'll have made the world a better place. But it's only a 75 million round.
It is, yeah. Then we have Humacyte, an Axis Industries-backed developer of tissue-based medical technology for regenerative medicine and vascular surgery, which has also closed a $75 million round, a Series C in this case, backed by a range of new and existing investors, most of them unnamed. Axis took part in the company's $150 million Series B round in 2015, and it has now received $290 million in financing since being founded in 2004.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? 14 years on and we're at the C round. Raised obviously a large amount of money, but they've obviously used the money well in the early part of that to keep going so long. But tissue-based medical technology for regenerative medicine, vascular surgery, it's just, wow. You're not sure quite what it's going to do, but
it sounds impressive.
There's a lot of excitement around sort of stem cells and a whole host of sort of the technologies to in effect, kickstart, people's tissues again. So people will be living longer that'll be interesting.
Yeah. And then we have Warby Parker, which, although investors are yet to exit, has been one of the success stories in the consumer goods space, taking the Deluxe own brand products and online retail and brick and mortar showrooms model into the eyewear industry. T. Rowe Price has led a $75 million Series E round that took the total race by Warby Parker, whose past investors include American Express Ventures, to more than $290 million.
Fascinating, isn't it? It's a whole host of things, but given the sort of carnage that's been in terms of sort of high street retail, there's been just people with different models that can really scale, that understand, sort of the millennials and marketing to them, and deliver something that they want and give them the combination, has a massive place, and it's there's a lot to go for. So interesting to see that T. Rowe Price, a big mutual fund company that's typically invested in these companies before they IPO, and then they got a good hook into them back in this latest round.
I think T. Rowe Price also led the Series D round, although off the top of my head, I'm not entirely sure how much that was. I think that was... Yeah, the Series D round was actually $100 million, led by T. Rowe Price. A lot of money in eyewear.
Yes. anything on the other titles? What's been happening on the university space?
Yes, on the university side, we have Commonwealth Fusion Systems, which is a new fusion power technology developer emerging from MIT's The Engine Accelerator, which has raised $50 million in funding from energy supplier Eni. CFS is working on fusion technology, which imitates the process by which the sun produces energy by smashing light elements, such as hydrogen, together to form heavier elements, such as helium, and harnesses the energy released in the process. The company hopes to develop a large bore superconducting electromagnet, which would allow it to contain the energy generated within 3 years and then build a full-scale prototype.
People have been searching for something that can develop fusion power for decades now, and they've struggled a little bit. There's been a couple of different techniques used in one in in Russia and one more on the Western. Yes, I think Magnox was one, but they've really struggled to make it work. Great market if they can do so. So interesting to see that people are still, ploughing the furrow and trying to do it. And actually, I think Oxford University has got a similar fusion power technology emerging as well.
First light fusion, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Something like that. Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, it's great. Actually, funny enough, our university's angle at the symposium in May in London is called GovFusion. So I think we should bring these companies together and talk about this.
It would be very interesting to hear from them because it sounds like fascinating technology, even though some of it goes right over my head.
Yes, no, same, likewise. Brilliant. So a good selection of deals there, actually, Tim. Thanks for that. Anything on the funds? Who's coming out to raise new funds at the moment?
We have Mars Petcare, pet food and health subsidiary of packaged food producer Mars, which I didn't know existed, has launched a $100 million corporate venturing vehicle called Companion Fund that will be managed by venture firm Digitalis Ventures. Companion Fund will invest in digital health, diagnostics, nutrition and pet services companies and was announced together with Leap Venture Studio, an accelerator that will be opened with advertising agency RGA and animal charity Mickelson Found Animals.
Yeah, interesting. No, I think Mars do like Whiskers and Kitty Cat and stuff like that in terms of the pet care. So a classic model, they are sort of multiple brands, in the same space in order, they're very big, obviously. But there's a lot of change in terms of what people are actually, what they sort of want for their pets. And I think their sort of big push is to say that effectively people are treating their animals like they would their own kids, in which case they will start to want to give them the same sort of vaccines and medical treatments that they would for their own child. And, big market if that's the case, because there are obviously billions of cats and dogs and a bunch of guards and rabbits and everything else out there. So if they can create the same sort of market size that there is in human healthcare, then great space to tap into. So fascinated by Mars.
Wow, yeah. Then we have fast food retailer Zaohia International, which has formed a $475 million retail and consumer-focused investment fund in partnership with Tiantu Capital, the VC and private equity firm that was also one of its pre-IPO investors. They have each provided almost $80 million for the fund and plan to raise the other two-thirds from external investors, including to a stock exchange filing.
Yeah, we've seen a bit of this sort of trend, actually, particularly in China, actually, where some of the sort of original venture backers are then coming in and supporting, in effect, their portfolio company to set up a fund once they've got a bit of scale and say, look, you understand this market, this segment, we provide a bit of capital and, in effect, try and really magnify the returns. We have a great run with this company. Let's reinvest some of the proceeds, as we're back on and really try and develop that ecosystem play. It's a great market to do. China's really been leading in terms of understanding how to do it well. Good to see. Good. So a good couple of funds there. Anything on the exits fund? Bringing the money back. It's obviously great that billions just this week, what is it, 10 billion has gone out more?
Yeah.
But what about the billions coming back, Thierry? How's that looking?
We are approaching billions, I guess, across the three deals. We have Arcus Biosciences, the immuno-oncology company that had raised more than $225 million from investors including GV, Taiho Ventures, Novartis, Celgene and Stanford University, secured $120 million when it floated on the New York Stock Exchange. Arcus increased the number of shares in the offering and priced them at the top of the $13 to $15 range, and if the underwriters do take up the over-allotment option, which they almost certainly will considering the company's shares are now hovering around the $21 mark, the offering will close at $138 million.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder what the market cap of Arcus is now. But obviously, they've raised a good chunk of change, $250 million or so. And interesting that they've been able to IPO. They've done some in New York. And great list of backers, actually. So, yeah, good deal.
It seems the market cap currently, as we record this, is $743 million.
Not too bad. So depends how long they sort of lock in, but they could have sort of trebled their money and they can ride it for further if it looks like shareholders like Arcus.
Yeah. And then we have Dropbox, which has set the terms for an IPO that would raise almost $650 million if the company prices its stock at the top end. Its valuation appears to have dropped from 10 billion in its last funding round in 2014 to just over 7 billion now, but it will be buoyed by a $100 million investment by existing backer Salesforce Ventures that will be made alongside the IPO.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, another success story for Salesforce Ventures in terms of they've had a great run in terms of exits and IPOs and trade sales. You know, Dropbox, obviously, the valuation might be a little bit lower in the last round, but I'm sure those investors will be made whole or good in some form or other. And, you know, and then it's upwards. But in fact, Salesforce is looking to come in alongside the IPO shows a real positive aspect of what they believe that the company could do. And it's interesting to see how Dropbox could work with Salesforce in terms of how there's obviously a sort of a cloud play or cloud technology development that could be, you can imagine, in the back end of this that could make this more strategic to Salesforce than it would otherwise appear.
I'm almost surprised that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you imagine there's a good bit of technology behind there, and you know, Salesforce expansion, Dropbox own development, you know, users and people. There's definitely something, it might just be a purely financial play, but there's definitely going to be some sort of techie angle there, I think.
Yeah. Then we have cybersecurity software producer Palo Alto Networks, which agreed on Wednesday to acquire US-based cloud security technology developer Evident.io for $300 million in cash, allowing Internet and Technology Group Alphabet to exit. The transaction comes after more than $49 million of funding for Evident. Alphabet's GV unit led a $22 million Series B round in February 2017, investing alongside existing backers Bain Capital, True Ventures, and Venrock.
Yeah, interesting. I think Palo Alto Networks was one of the real IPO success stories over the past couple of years. And the fact that they're now sort of using their stock, you know, success to provide the cash for Evident.io to buy it out is interesting. Obviously, it'd be a great return for the venture capital backers. Good set of exits there, Tiomi. So what about people? Any people moves?
We've only had one this past week from the university sites. Albion Capital, which is the investment firm that manages Universal College London's technology fund, has appointed Tanel Özdemir to the fund's investment team as an analyst. Tanel Özdemir previously joined Newable Private Investing as an investment analyst in October 2017, having completed a five-month internship with Albion Capital in 2016, so this is something of a homecoming for him. He also received a PhD from UCL itself in 2017 for research into synthetic biology and microbiome engineering.
Yeah, interesting. Actually, I think, Thierry, you're just starting to renew this sort of list on the most active university venturing funds ahead of our sort of May.
I am, yes.
Gov Fusion. So this is one to add in, but nice hire and rejoining for Tanel. So congrats to him. But any thoughts, anything you need for your May research, Thierry? Nice time to plug.
Well, if there are any university venturing funds out there listening to this, please do email me, thelesat globaluniversityventuring.com. That's thelesat globaluniversityventuring.com. I am very interested to learn what you've been up to in the last year.
Yeah, be good. It was fascinating research this time last year. So thanks for that. It'd be nice to see what's been happening in the world since. But Jerry, thanks very much for this past week. And thanks to all the listeners. And don't hesitate to get in touch. Thanks all.
Thank you, Jim. Goodbye.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.